Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
When we think of adolescence, we too often think of it as one thing, you know, teens. And yet, there are really very distinct stages of adolescence, and you might be surprised to know that it doesn't end with high school. We'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast, episode number 46, titled The Three-Stage Journey from Childhood to Adulthood. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and that's me. I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family you work for every day. And for those looking for help with their parenting and relationship challenges, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and download my free Parent Burnout Recovery Guide. And as we just said, it's common to view adolescence as one thing and to see some kids as, you know, easy to raise and others as harder. But the hope is they will get to their adulthoods in good shape, maybe get into a top college and not have too many problems. Certainly, we want all kids to be responsible, and we don't want our kids abusing drugs or alcohol, and we don't want them to give us too much to worry about. Pretty good if we can get all that. But it's important to remember that we can have a strong influence on our adolescents' development so that when they do reach adulthood, they're ready to take full responsibility for their own success and happiness. In order to best support our adolescents in successfully reaching adulthood, we need to realize that adolescence is not one thing, and parenting adolescence is not one thing. And parenting doesn't end when kids graduate high school. Think of it as a journey from childhood to adulthood. And think of the journey as having three distinct stages: early adolescence, late adolescence, and young adulthood. If we and our kids negotiate each of these stages well, that'll set things up best for the next leg of the journey. So let's talk about these different stages. Each stage has its own developmental tasks, and our kids will do best if we understand these stages and parent in a way that supports these developmental tasks. So for starters, let's think of the journey beginning with early adolescence and ending at adulthood as just that, a journey. It's an adventure for them and for you. And like a lot of adventures, there'll be ups and downs and times that are arduous, times that are smooth sailing. And sometimes there'll be obstacles we won't know how to deal with, but that's part of the deal, right? Raising kids is a learning experience for parents and kids alike. So it's best to resolve that problems are a given and they offer the opportunity for learning and growing to all of us. And, you know, if we get stuck along the way, heck, we can get some help. In today's podcast, I want to focus on the social-emotional learning going on during each of these stages and the key parenting objectives. But it's critical to remember that our teens and young adults are growing physically and neurologically throughout this journey. And neurological maturation is generally complete between the ages of 22 to 25, with females generally maturing sooner than males. And it's during this time that the brain goes from being a child's brain to an adult brain, and the transition is quite profound. So while our youth are growing their capacity for abstract thinking and advanced reasoning, they are also neurologically inclined towards impulsivity and risk-taking. And once again, growing their advanced reasoning skills is a journey, so we can't expect them always to have a reasoned conversation with us and to be reasonable and logical every time. Early adolescence, starting in middle school and going to 14 or so, young teens are forming their own social groups for the first time. Prior, children were friends with the kids in their class, their neighborhoods, you know, their siblings, their extended family, and, you know, the other adult groups that were organized, such as church groups or sports leagues. But now, kids are choosing certain friends and differentiating themselves from kids with different interests and different friends. There's a lot of focus on which group are you part of, who's in and who's out of the various social groups. So these young teens are still very much children in their appearance and in their behavior. Some will enter puberty earlier than others, so here there will be a wide range of looks in this group. And as these young teens move from 13 to 14 and 15, they may grieve the simpler life, you know, of enjoying the toys, the stuffed animals, and the routines of their childhoods. It's a time of moving away from parents and wanting and needing to spend more time with and identifying more with their peers. They're going to want to do things more independently and often want less help and less parental structure. They're going to want the things their friends have, and they're going to want to dress and look the style their friends look and dress. And the idea is that they're becoming more peer identified, and that means less family identified. They can be resistant to doing family activities and want to do peer activities, and they can get pretty surly. It's important at this stage for kids to have an area or two of interest and competence. Any sport or physical activity, art, music, dance, academics are all good. That way they have an initial identity to enter their teen years with, and that can be important to having friends and self-esteem. This is a time when it becomes harder for parents to know how their kids are doing in school. And so now it's up to the young teen to keep track of their school responsibilities. And some kids can manage their work easily, and others who are challenged organizationally, sounds like a lot of kids there, or with learning differences, or have a tendency to procrastinate, focus issues, they're still going to need a lot of support. And parents and young teens often struggle with the reality of kids still needing parental support and parental structure. So as parents, here's what you can focus on. Stay connected, stay involved. Be sure there are clear limits on internet devices. This is an age where bullying is most common, so be sure to talk with your young teenager about these issues and be sure they know the protocols of internet use and behavior, and that they let you know if they're feeling bullied. It's good to include friends and family activities. That way they're going to be more interested in participating and they'll behave better when they do. We're going to want to support supervised independent activities, you know, activities that are supervised by other parents, ones that are share your values. Reliable organizations such as extended family, church, school, scouts, an athletic league. You need to know still who the leaders of these groups are, but we want our kids to have those independent experiences and to feel successful in that. We want to support unsupervised independent activity, which is short in duration. It has a specific location, a specific activity, and they know in advance what the expectations are about the going and the returning and what's going to take place while they're there and what's not going to take place when they're there. We want to discuss the change from completely supervised to unsupervised activities and introduce concepts of responsibility and trust in the young teen and their ability to self-manage behavior. Have that conversation. Want to use a tone of collaboration and inclusion when we're setting up schedules and routines. In other words, we want a certain level of flexibility so that they can have buy-in to whatever the structure ends up being. Let's talk a little about late adolescence. That's the 16, 17, 18-year-olds. Essentially, high school juniors and seniors are in this category. These older teens should be able to manage their responsibilities pretty independently. They should have some stable friendships and friendship groups, as well as interests that they share with their peers. This group should be pretty much they should know the rules and be able to follow them pretty much. At this point, their focus should be on their post-high school future, whereas young teens are more motivated by their movement away from the family towards their teen world. Older teens should be more motivated by their vision of the future. In other words, they can see, if you're 16 years old, you know you've got 24 months before you're a legal adult and you can see the end of high school, and you've got to know what's going to happen for you then. Now, even youth with learning disabilities, ADHD, shy, sensitive kids, these kids be functioning pretty independently at this point, and they should know how to utilize the resources at their disposal fairly independently as well. In other words, if they still need help, that's fine, but they need to be the ones driving, using it, and getting it. Now, where kids haven't mastered their early adolescence, as in learn to manage responsibilities or be accountable to parents, older adolescents can, in fact, have significant issues. And where there have been control battles that have lingered from early adolescence, this group can struggle. Here's the parenting focus. Enjoy your high schooler's competence. Get ready to have them beat you at the sport you taught them. This was the age where my kids left me behind musically. They beat me in tennis, outran me. Well, you get the point. Ask interested but not probing questions about their lives, friendships, what they're learning. Discuss it with them. Have key points of inclusion in family life. Don't give up on family life. They need to be regularly cooking a meal together with you, cleaning the house together with you. It's a good idea. That way it all gets done and it's not just bugging them to keep doing it, but we have a time that the whole family is going to go do a house cleaning. Family outings to music, theater, athletic events, doing athletic activities, cycling, boating, hunting and fishing. These are things that we can still have a great time with. Activities such as working on the car or home maintenance jobs are great because they're learning from that. If they have a job, which is a good thing, discuss and even require a financial plan that includes saving for desired expensive items such as a musical instrument, an expensive bike, a trip they want to take after high school graduation. They're learning money management, so that's why we want them to do this, so that they learn. Ideally, at this age, they have strong relationships with other adults who are also affirming who they are, and that's a really good thing. It's good for us to build relationships with their friends, enjoy challenging conversations with them and their friends, topics of interest, media, books, politics, world events, whatever they're interested in. It's good for them and it's good for us. They make us explain what we believe, and they'll often find holes in our logic if we aren't careful. And when they do, don't defend yourself. Validate their thinking and be willing to admit they have a good point. Key during the stage of development is to support your high school junior or senior with focusing on and preparing for what's next. For those who are college bound, there's a lot to consider from, you know, about a college, from areas of interest, location, school size, cost, and readiness to move away or stay at home. You know, there's community colleges in your community often, and that's a great option. But they can't possibly weigh all these options alone, and they will need your input and support. And the college application process is complicated and requires planning and attention to detail, and most teens are going to need support there. For those not wanting to go to college, well, that's fine, but what's their plan? Do they have a plan beyond an entry-level job? What job or career interest do they have, and who might they talk to about it to get some realistic ideas about how to pursue their goals? How can they turn goals into plans? Keep in mind that the last semester of senior year is challenging for a lot of families, and as kids near the finish line of their high school careers, they get this disease called senioritis. You know, that's that social-emotional virus that causes seniors to stop doing work and think they are no longer accountable. Well, they may need to lose a privilege or two to get reeled back in and back on track. But in general, late adolescence can be pretty smooth sailing. But don't get caught asleep at the wheel. They are wired for impulsivity and risk-taking, even a responsible teenager can make a very bad decision given the right circumstances. You might notice that I've left out 15-year-olds, and that's because they're a little bit like the young adolescents and a little bit like the older adolescents, but they're more like their own thing, just in the middle. I've sometimes called it middle adolescence. They are pretty comfortable with being teenagers, so pushing away from family for the sake of pushing away isn't as much the point anymore. And they can't really sense the reality of the impending end of high school. It's pretty much its own thing, and some kids do really well and are solid in their identity and their social lives and their interests. And others can find some pretty challenging ways to get themselves into trouble and with more independence than they can handle. Parents often make the mistake of thinking that if they should be more independent and responsible, that they'll back off and expect them to be independently responsible, only to find out that, oops, they weren't ready for that. I worked with a lot of 15-year-olds and their parents who were referred in by their defense attorneys, and they've had a lot of work to do to unravel a legal mess. So don't let go too early. Now, the final stage of adolescence is what we usually call young adulthood. This group is that post-high school 18 to 24-year-olds. This group is still growing and developing, and parents still have a vital role. In fact, this group is more like early teens than late teens from a parenting point of view, because much like young teens, this group is entering a new phase of life. There is a lot for the young adult to learn about and experience here. They've lost their old routines and the expectations, and the flow of life is entirely new. It will involve making new friends and far more responsibility and independent decision making. And that's why it's important for parents to support and teach independent skills during early and late adolescence. If the young adult goes off to college, well, what exactly are the expectations about school performance, managing money, communication home? How can parents support their young adult, particularly in the early stages of being away? They will need support and to know that we understand that it's a challenging transition. In the age of cell phones and social media, kids often stay connected to their old friends, which makes connecting and making new college friends more challenging than it used to be. And some parents make the mistake of micromanaging their young adult with Find My Phone and other technologies and can know exactly where they are at all times and can start texting them as soon as they think they need to be managed and be doing more studying and get back to the library, get back to your room. The emphasis, however, should be on support and not control. Parents can talk with their young adult about how they're feeling, who they're meeting and what their classes are like, what social activities are available. In general, there is a lot of opportunity for alcohol and drug use and abuse, and parents should talk openly about this as well as about sexual behavior and sexual risks. It's really important for kids in this stage to have a strong sense of their own values and a strong sense of their own personal boundaries. In high school and at home, they had a fairly consistent culture to rely on. Now away at school, in a new culture where no one knows them and they can feel like they have to prove something, they can be easily influenced to take risks they wouldn't have taken previously. And because they still are developing neurologically, they still are wired for risk-taking. So many kids in their first year of college also experience anxiety and they experience depression. And, you know, parents can help them find resources to support them through it. And often parental support can help them through it as well. Now, for young adults staying at home, well, what are the rules now that they are legal adults and not in high school? Often, young adults assume there will be none. And that's an assumption that needs clarification, right? Parents do need to have some order in their home and don't want their young adult child coming and going and banging around in the kitchen late into the night. So on the other hand, you know, parents need to support their young adult's new level of responsibility and independence. Here's the challenging part for parents of young adult children. These young adults clearly need parental support to take their first steps away from high school and towards their futures. That's for sure. What parents must be sure of is that their support is in fact supporting them in moving forward, not supporting them while they play and socialize or languish either away from home or while living at home. What are the productive behaviors kids are demonstrating that will in fact move them forward? And what are the behaviors parents might be concerned are keeping them from moving forward? Are they drinking heavily? Socializing recklessly? What if they're living at home, have a low-paying job, paying parents either no rent or minimal rent, and not doing much else? Does this qualify as helping your young adult move forward? Well, in most cases, not, but in some cases where a youth has a disability of some kind, this might represent progress. But that's the critical question. Are they making progress, and are they working out the at-home arrangements so that they contribute to the home and are respectful and reasonable with their parents? So don't be shocked when you discover you still need to actively parent this group. There may be fewer limits, but limits still need to be in place. And for young adults who go away to college, what happens after graduation? It can be tough to figure out next steps for many young college grads. And here, parents may need to help kids establish goals and plans for moving forward, even if they come back home to live. But living at home should include goals, plans, and daily implementation of a strategy while being a contributing member of the household. So listeners, let's remember that helping our kids grow from childhood to adulthood goes best when we understand what they're working on and have a strategy to support it. If we allow ourselves to be caught off guard when our kids make mistakes, we're more inclined to react poorly. Our kids and our relationship with our kids will go best when we anticipate their needs and are proactive in supporting them. There are always surprises, but if we know that life is an adventure and we are on that adventure together, then the tough parts are just part of the journey, and we can have faith that smooth will come next. So here's my challenge to all of us. If you have a young adolescent, an older adolescent, or a young adult child making mistakes, or if you know or are working with any teens and young adults who are struggling, suspend judgment and help them feel worthwhile and important. Even when we're setting limits or taking away privileges, we can let them know that it's a journey and that we want to support them in making it a successful one. Well, thanks for tuning in today, everyone. And in support of parents looking to find a more empowered parenting approach, an approach that's clear and confident and yet supportive and validating, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and sign up for my new 6-week online empowered parenting workshop. I think you'll find it unique and powerful. And while you're there, sign up for my weekly email where you will receive my weekly blog or podcast, and I'd love to have a chance to answer your question that you can submit there as well. And do you know someone who might benefit from reading my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle? It's readily available, inexpensive, and it could make a big difference in someone's life. Well, please, would you do me a favor? Take care of yourself. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.